Chapter 55 Gama Drawn. Jen awoke Gerund for his watch in the dead of night. A chill had stolen over the room as the night deepened high in the mountains. After stretching and rewrapping his cloak about himself, Gerund slipped on his boots and went to the open window to refresh his eyes. Moonlight streamed through the opening, a slanted column of moonlight casting the shadow of Jen's companion across the room. Remembering their strange circumstances set Jen's blood to churning, grogginess fleeing as anxiety and a need to depart in haste took hold. Were it not for the scant illumination from the moons, the room would be lost in utter darkness. The ancient bed creaked wildly as Jen settled on it, and despite the toils of the day, sleep would not come. Time crawled by as he stared at the cracked ceiling, ears primed for any sound besides that of his companion's breathing. Every moment passing, lending him hope that the night would pass uneventfully and the protecting sun rise to free him from the nagging fear that gripped him in the presence of their host. So it was that when he first heard soft, steady footsteps in the hallway, he could not tell if it were real or a product of an imagination ripened by fear. The voice of experience and the nearing footfalls pulled him off his bed, Gerund casting a worried glance at him. A quick shake pulled Volney from his slumber. They struggled with their boots and strapped on their weapons. Anxiously and in silence they waited, hearing someone tread back and forth just outside the room like a sentry for nearly 15 minutes. At length the pacing stopped, and the door swung inward. They drew their swords, staring at the vague shape outlined in the doorframe.
"Who goes there?" Gerund demanded.
"Forgive me, young master," the voice of Sir Tornus spoke. "I had only come to check to make sure my guests slept well."
He entered and closed the door.
"Bibs can, from time to time, be mischievous. But I see that you are ready for a fight. A shame on my house that my guests cannot find rest after such a tiresome day."
Gerund relaxed, noting that Tornus held a shattered lamp at his side but no weapon. An awkward pause kept nerves raw. Unexpectedly, Tornus's voice, sad and agonized, broke the silence.
"How can I do this?" he moaned, face angled toward the ceiling. "I suppose I hoped too much that my penance would bring release. Too many crimes, too much to forgive. There is no escape, and I am so hungry. The Uyumark do not satisfy. What are 3 more among so many? I must feed this one last time and leave this place."
More sobs filled the room.
"I am sorry, my young friends."
"Take him!"
Jen yelled. But as they moved to advance, Tornus threw open the shutters of his lamp and a pale blue light bloomed in the room. In that instant, Gerund and Volney stopped, eyes wide and faces slack, swords clattering to the ground. Tears ran down the haunted face of their host, red-rimmed eyes widening with surprise at Jen's unabated advance. Jen chopped sideways with his sword, the blade passing through Sir Tornus's neck. The man made no move to avoid the attack. Jen's shock followed as he watched the skin behind the blade adhere and heal the instant the blade had passed through, Tornus's expression turning melancholy. Jen stepped back defensively.
"Believe me," Sir Tornus said, "I wish that had worked as much as you do. I've thrown myself off parapets and cliffs, stood in bonfires, crushed myself under avalanches of snow and rock, and spent months lying in the lake. Nothing will do. I've no pleasures but to feast on the spirits of the living, and one as strong-willed as you must satisfy."
With frightening speed, supple fingers darted for Jen's neck. Jen sliced at the incoming strike, but the blade simply gave his attacker a newly severed sleeve of his shirt, leaving the arm undamaged, and the hand latched around Jen's throat in a crushing grip. Tornus's eyes flashed with a spectral light and hungry anticipation, but Jen felt nothing, his attacker's expression turning to disappointment and curiosity. Jen kicked the ancient knight in the midsection, sending him staggering back into the stone wall with terrific force. The lamp skittered to the ground as it leapt from Tornus's grip.
Jen sheathed his useless sword and dashed for the lamp, but Taunus recovered quickly and collided with him, sending both men skidding across the floor.
"Well, my young friend," Taunus hissed as he stood, "I have often wondered what I had become, but you, what are you? You've no soul to feast on. Are you my damnation come at last? Come, get the lamp if you can, but beware. I just need an instant to consume one of your drooling companions."
Hand to hand they struggled, Jen employing the elven fighting art of Kuritan, thinking he could gain the upper hand on his opponent. But Taunus was even more immune to pain than Jen was. Quick hits and distracting slaps, as useless as his sword had been against the demon at the Shalane's betrothal.
"You are fast, young one," Taunus grinned maliciously. "But enough of the girlish elven fighting."
Taunus dashed toward Gerund and Volney, Jen leaping onto his foe's back and covering his eyes, throwing his weight down. Taunus stumbled and then purposefully dropped backward, slamming them both into a bed. The ancient frame broke, Jen's breath exploding from his lungs as his back hit the cold floor, his enemy's crushing weight driving him down. Jen rolled and flung Taunus away from his friends and into a nearby column. As he tried to stand, the blanket tangled around his arms and shoulders, Taunus taking advantage by delivering a crushing punch to his face that sent him to the ground, head spinning. Jen fought for his concentration and his balance, thrashing against the blanket and trying to stay between Taunus and his friends. Just as Jen tossed the blanket away, Taunus rushed him, encircling him in a powerful embrace. Grinning, Sir Taunus reared his head back and butted his forehead into Jen's face. Jen took the strike on his cheek, ignoring the dull pain and using his weight to pull Taunus down. The knight let go before they fell, Jen landing hard on his backside. Taunus dashed toward Gerund, Jen realizing that he could not catch Taunus in time. The light shining through the window reminded him of his power, and with a thought he dissolved half of Taunus's boot heel at a slant, a technique he had read about in one of Ethris's texts. Even that simple effort winded him, but it had the desired effect. As soon as their host set his hurried foot down, the ankle twisted and broke, sending him to the hard ground, dust exploding from the floor. Thinking quickly, Jen sprinted forward and grabbed Taunus's leg and dragged him toward the lamp, feeling the man's ankle knitting back together under his fingers. Taunus clawed and scratched at the ground, finally grabbing the leg of one of the beds. With another spell, Jen weakened the leg so that it broke off in Taunus's hand, and with muscles roping in strain, he pulled Taunus's body over the lamp and fell on top of him, ramming his elbow into Taunus's neck and breaking it. The blue light extinguished. Gerund and Volney's slack faces regained their tightness and comprehension, and grabbing their weapons, they rushed to Jen's side. Already Taunus's neck was healing, and Jen pinned a thrashing Taunus to the ground.
"Get out!" Jen yelled to the others. "Get out now! Wait for me outside the door! Swords are useless! Go!"
Reluctantly, his companions left. Jen had Taunus flipped onto his stomach and, taking his hair, bashed Taunus's face into the ground 3 times as hard as he could muster before extricating himself from the knight and bolting for the door. Taunus regained his feet with impossible speed, but his warped boot heel sent him flailing into the wall, lending Jen just enough time to get out and pull the door closed. Taunus arrived seconds later, and the 2 men strove with each other, each pulling at the door handle with every ounce of his strength.
"Get out of here! I will find you!"
Jen yelled to his friends.
"We can't leave you,"
Gerund protested.
"You can and will. You cannot defeat this foe. Run!"
Jen put enough terror into his voice that the hint of it in his entreaty persuaded his companions to obey. Jen held to the handle, planting his feet against the wall and pulling inch by inch, the door crept inward, Taunus's strength fueled by his need to escape and feed.
"How long can you keep this up?" Sir Taunus said, voice strained. "Let me out! Let me out! And I will let you leave this place. I only want your companions. They will sate me."
An idea popped into Jen's mind, and he knew what he had to do. Gathering himself, he yanked backward with everything he had, the door slamming shut. Envisioning the inside of the room, he used Triss magic to create a lip of stone on the floor just in front of the door. Exhausted, he fell away against the wall on the opposite side, limbs listless and energy spent.
"What in Mikkek's name?"
Taunus thundered. Cursing, he pulled at the door several times before pounding his fists upon it.
"You're a mage! Let me out of here! This won't keep me long!
Silence prevailed for a few moments, and then Tornus laughed. "Why, the moons are lovely this evening. I think I'll go to the window for a better look," Jen swore. Legs wobbly, he half-jogged, half-walked down the corridor, hand on the wall to steady himself. "Don't go outside!" Jen yelled. Gerund and Volney ran back up the stairs toward him. Jen sat down and probed the bruises on his face, mind racing. "What happened?" Volney asked. "I think he went out the window." "That is good information and all, but I mean, what happened in there? One minute we're talking to Tornus, the next thing I know you're wrestling with him on the floor." "He had a lamp like the ones he showed us for the UU mark, but this one was for men, apparently. I was able to resist the spell. He is a craver, one of Mikik's most awful creations, invented sometime near the Shattering. Nearly impossible to kill. I'll explain later. I think he is heading back in here."
"Can we gather our supplies?" Gerund asked.
"No, he's barred the door somehow," Jen lied, not wanting to explain why the door could no longer be opened, and not possessing the strength to undo his spell. "We have to find a place to hide. I think the door into the keep is the only one, and there are no windows on the first floor."
"If we can find a place to hide, perhaps we can wait until he comes in, hide until he passes, and then make a run for it," Gerund suggested. "Do you think we can outrun him?"
Jen shook his head.
"For a while. But cravers are relentless and tireless when they want to feed. If he's shut the gates or pulled in the drawbridge, then we could be in a great deal of trouble."
"I've been thinking about that," Gerund said. "I think he can manage the gates by himself, though it would take time. The platform across the canyon, however, is too heavy, and needs the services of many horses to pull in and out."
"That is some comfort," Jen commented, legs feeling stout enough to stand and walk. "For now, let's head down the hallway and see what we can find."
"Don't forget that Bibbs is bumbling around here somewhere," Volney reminded them. They had proceeded down the hall several paces when Gerund stopped dead in his tracks, a smile spreading across his face.
"What?" Jen whispered. "The one room he will not think we are in is the one he barred shut."
"Right," Jen replied, "but we can't get in."
"We can. You have Aldred and Mickmere's sword. It can cut through anything. We can cut out a section of the door at the bottom, go inside, replace it, and with any luck he won't even notice it."
Jen smiled in return. How could he have forgotten the virtues of the sword? They ran quietly back to the door.
"Let me see if he spiked it somehow," Jen said, lying prone and jamming the sword into the crack beneath the door, breaking apart the rock he had created earlier.
"It looks like he jammed some rock underneath it, or something. Try it now." As they went to open it, they heard pounding on the outer door, Saturnus yelling for Bibbs to unlock it.
"If we can beat Bibbs to it, Saturnus will be locked outside," Volney suggested.
Jen pulled them in and shut the door.
"It isn't worth the risk. Volney, jam some of the rock back underneath the door, if you can. Gerund, see how far of a drop it is to the ground. I'll get our gear packed back up."
In a few moments, the squeal of the keep door opening suspended Volney's efforts, and he, Jen, and Gerund neared the window.
"It is about 20 feet to the ground," Gerund reported. "Does anyone have rope?"
No one did.
"I'm home," Tornus yelled from out in the hall. "There is only one way out of this keep, but only one way that doesn't hurt a great deal, and that is through this hallway. So I think I will wander around a bit and see what I can find. A little hide and seek, perhaps."
They held their breath as Tornus briefly pushed their door, Volney's wedges holding long enough to satisfy the craver that the way was barred. Jen slid his sword quietly from its scabbard. With precise cuts, he whittled away a bit of the stone floor so that Gerund could hold it up while he cut a small circle around it. Once complete, Gerund lifted the section of flooring up and they peered downward. The hole opened up into the kitchen. In the low firelight, they could make out low tables with unidentifiable pieces of meat lying in pools of blood. Quietly, Jen cut more sections of the floor away while Volney and Gerund carefully laid the pieces aside. Once the hole was wide enough, they dropped into the room. The kitchen smelled of flesh and rot, a large pot reeking of some cooling substance that appeared uncomfortably like what they had eaten for dinner. Even worse, bits and pieces of Uyumak lay scattered carelessly about the floor. Jen pulled his disgusted friends toward the back of the kitchen until he found what he thought was an outer wall. Jen raised his sword.
"I'm going to cut through this wall. It will be noisy, but fast. We run for the gate. Get ready!"
With quick strokes, Jen cut a triangular exit into the wall, the blade passing easily through the thick stones. They pushed their shoulders into the cut-out section to heave it outward, the sound of stone grinding on stone echoing through the keep. Somewhere, Bibbs was slapping the walls in warning to his master.
"You should have cut a smaller section," Gerund exclaimed, as the chunk of wall moved inch by inch outward.
Several seconds later, the stones and mortar crashed to the paving stones outside, and they leapt out into the night. Jen led them back toward where he remembered the gate to be. Stealth was impossible, the litter of bones beneath their feet filling the air with cracks and snaps that echoed about the empty streets. Although exhausted, they knew they could not stop. Taunus knew exactly where they would run. As they neared the courtyard, Jen suddenly pulled up.
"Do you hear that?"
"More, Uyumark," Gerund stated flatly. "I'll bet those lanterns of his are still out front."
Cautiously, they approached the courtyard, hugging the sides of a building. Jen chanced to look out into the square and pulled back quickly.
"The gates are open, but I think that entire division of Uyumark's soldiers we spied in the glade are milling about out there. I cannot see that any of the lamps are lit. They are searching about at their leisure."
"What do we do?"
Volney asked nervously.
"We think, and we—"
Jen started to reply.
"What is that?"
Gerund hissed, cutting off Jen's comment. A yellowish orb floated just above them for a few moments before dashing away back into the courtyard.
"Run!"
Jen ordered, just as the sound of Uyumark's speech reverberated through the streets, the sound of their pursuing feet adding to the din. Gerund and Volney followed Jen as they darted down deserted avenues, turning unpredictably at corners and fleeing down alleys to throw off the hunters. Echoes confused their senses as the scrabbling and scuffing of boots and clawed feet reverberated.
"In here,"
Jen ordered quietly. They slipped into a dark building with rock walls and floor, the door and furniture long since turned to dust.
"Get down away from the window and don't move. Don't breathe if you can help it."
Moments later, a large body of Uyumark passed outside. Jen held his breath, hoping they would pass on. They stopped, snuffling and thumping to each other in the night. Abruptly, the entire company fell silent. Beads of sweat pooled on their foreheads as they crouched in the dark, unable to hear anything of their motionless pursuers. A voice outside incanted,
"Hidayauk!"
"They've brought a chukka," Jen whispered.
White light streamed through the window of the room where they sat, brightening until a blinding luminescent sphere passed through the opening and flashed with the intensity of the sun before winking out.
"I can't see," Volney said frantically. "Stay against the back wall."
Jen's words barely left his lips when his ears told him that four Uyumark, probably warriors, had pushed through the doorway. Jen's night vision was washed out by the light. Relying on his training, he shut his eyes and listened for the sounds of footfalls and breathing. Remembering his surroundings, he stepped forward and sliced downward. The sword of Aldredan Mikmir cut through the Uyumark as Jen laid about him with every ounce of speed he could muster. Two died cloven in two before the other two could recover. The warriors wielded great clubs, and Jen ducked a high swing he heard coming an instant before the devastating blow pounded the wall and sent chips of rock skittering across the floor. A quick upthrust to the gut finished the creature, and Jen spun to impale the last in the back as it leveled a strike against Gerund. They had no time to think as more Uyumark charged the door. Remembering something he had read in his Triss magic books, Jen used his power to create a small patch of razor-sharp spikes at the threshold of the door. Two hunters had entered before his spell, but the next two fell down in agony as they crossed, tripping up their companions while Jen dispatched with the first.
"Ayuija!"
the dark elf outside screamed. Jen knew the elvish word. It meant wall. But once his eyes finally adjusted to the dark, he couldn't see the result of the spell. Quickly, he butchered the hunters that had run afoul of the spikes. The floor was slick and treacherous with blood and bodies.
"I think I can see,"
Gerund whispered,
"but my sight does little good in this blackness."
"The chukker is out there, alone, I think," Jen said. "Let's run. Kill him quickly. Step on the bodies near the door. The floor is a mess."
They ducked the window and ran for the door as one, slamming into an invisible barrier and falling about into the gore. Cursing, they stood, peering through the doorway to find the chukka slapping his chest, summoning reinforcements.
"Wait here,"
Jen said, extending Aldredan's sword before him and passing through the invisible barrier. He sprinted at the surprised chukka, who stood alone in the street.
The dark elf's hood was around his shoulders, long dark hair falling loosely down his back. Raising his hands, he started to incant until Jen created a small stone in its mouth. The obstacle threw off the spell, the mage spitting the stone out just as Jen beheaded him.
"Come on!"
Jen waved to his companions, feeling exhausted. Magic took its toll.
"But which way?"
Volney asked, terrified.
"Any way is a guess," Jen wheezed, trying to catch his breath. "We need to work our way back to the gates, but the buildings make it difficult to get my bearings."
The sound of running hunters to their left chose the path to the right for them, and they loped away into the darkness along the paved streets. Empty rows of blank windows and doorways whirred by as they ran away from their persistent enemies.
"I see a clearing ahead," Jen informed Gerund and Volney. "Let's see if we can figure out where we are."
To Jen's dismay, the clearing was the edge of the city. The long lines of graves, dug and filled by Taunus, stretching before them on the other side of the low wall.
"I can't run anymore," Volney admitted, nursing an aching side. "Over the fence," Jen ordered them. "Lay down at the base and cover yourselves with your cloaks. Let's render their eyes useless, although we cannot help their noses."
The overgrown field on the other side of the rock wall provided excellent cover as they rested and listened for signs of their pursuers. Jen fought to control his laboured breathing, mind racing. They were trapped on the wrong end of the upthrust rock, gate back to the road hopelessly out of reach. Again the malevolent voice intruded into Jen's mind.
"I am at your command. I serve those with the power of my making. Long have I waited."
The voice, solicitous and urgent, carried with it a taint of violent intent. An avalanche, eagerly awaiting a yell to send it in a destructive course down the mountain.
"I am Gamadron. I am 16,000 strong. I can bring you aid."
Jen shivered, the creature's dark language reminding him of the demon that crushed him during the Shalane's betrothal. He ignored the call, shoving the offers of assistance out of his mind until the scratch and thump of a large number of Uyumak on the other side of the wall set his heart pounding. Lying on his back, he leaned up to chance a look, finding the field swarming with the yellow eyes of the Throgs. Several memories of the disgusting beasts surfaced from Samian's memories. He had taken great pleasure in sticking arrows in the floating eyes.
"The Uyumak are many. They are made from the same power as I. My poison will not harm them, and their skins are too thick for my bite. Command me, and I will take the bodies of the dwarves laid in this field and drive your foes into the abyss."
Snuffling on the other side of the wall turned to thumping. "They are upon us," Jen yelled, leaping to his feet. As one, 9 hunters leaped over the wall and toward their prey, one remaining to summon the rest of the horde. The eyes of the Throgs raced to where the battle was joined as a host of warriors and bashers emerged from alleyways into the moonlit field. They fought desperately against the first wave of hunters, sustaining many shallow cuts as they retreated slowly backward against uneven ground. Gerund wiped sweat from his brow after the last hunter fell.
"One of those floating yellow orbs, Jen."
"Throg eyes," Jen answered. "I'll tell you about them later."
"No need. We're dead," Volney said. "Then let's make a hero's stand," Gerund yelled, "and let them find a pile of Uyumak at my feet."
Jen swallowed hard as no fewer than 20 warriors and a handful of hunters hopped the wall. The Uyumak bolted at them, circular mouths contracting and expanding as if already imagining their meal. More approached from the city. Jen had no choice. He extended his thoughts outward to the ethereal force.
"Come,"
he commanded, not sure what to expect. At once, a mighty keening wail tore through the field, a sound of dark relief and delight, the pleased expression of a murderous convict set loose from his prison into a field of unsuspecting blood. The Uyumak drew back, momentarily unnerved, and Volney and Gerund stood rooted, wide-eyed with horror.
"This way,"
Jen commanded, leading them in the direction of the pit that Taunus showed them earlier that night. They did not travel far between the graves and weeds before a mass of sleek, dark serpents boiled into the field like dark water, groups stopping to burrow into Taunus's shallow graves. One by one, Dwarven skeletons wrapped in snakes rose from the ground, one snake poking its head through an eye hole while others wrapped themselves around the bones, adhering them together and striding forward. Dwarven weapons, as bright as the day they were crafted, glinted in the light of the moons, serpentine hands gripping them with purpose. The Uyumark did not wait until the snake-animated skeletons formed a column, 500 strong, before deserting the field at a dead run for the confines of the city.
"What is your wish, master? Shall I pursue?"
"Yes, clear the way for us," Jen replied in thought.
"I thank you, master. Gamadron will not fail you."
The counterfeit dwarven army sprinted away in pursuit, leaving the field quiet, save for the whistle of the wind through the weeds by the disturbed graves. Gerund and Volney looked around, faces troubled.
"A lot of strange things have happened tonight," Volney finally said. "But holy Eldeloth, that is the most disgusting, horrifying thing I have ever beheld."
"The chill in my spine is permanent," Gerund added.
"Jen, do you have any idea what just happened? Because despite the fact that we have just been delivered, I don't think the sound of my clapping for joy would overcome the thunder of my knees knocking."
"I do not have an explanation," Jen answered.
It was mostly true.
"It is a creature of dreadful evil and violence. But for some reason it helps us. We must accept the gift. I don't think we have a choice."
They walked toward the city tentatively, weapons at the ready. Uyumark lay dead along their path, cut apart and scattered. Rarely did they find the body of a snake, torn by an Uyumark claw, or smashed by a club, but the Uyumark and their Chukar masters could not hold against the puissant force of the Dark Army. When they arrived at the courtyard, the serpent-animated dwarves stood in ranks. Three of the skeletal warriors held a struggling Tornus fast.
"Do not approach him," Jen warned.
"I am quite content to stay where I am," Volney asserted, as Jen strode forward between the ranks of the creatures, the hissing and sleek black bodies testing his courage.
"This one we could not kill. He is a craver."
"Throw him in the pit," Jen ordered, "into which he threw you, and cover it with the rocks he used as grave markers. Then follow us onto the mountain road. Bring as many of the green lanterns as you can, but shutter them. I will give you further instructions once we are on the road."
"Your will."
Sir Tornus glared at him, face alight with discovery.
"You can command this abomination," he yelled as he was dragged away,
army following to aid in the task of his final incarceration.
"I know what you are. Do they?
Do you want to tell them, or should I?"
"Silence him," Jen ordered.
Two snakes wrapped themselves around Tornus's mouth and nose, turning his epithets into muffled grunts of frustration.
"Let's go,"
Jen said to his companions, who waited until the snake dwarves had cleared away completely before joining him.
"Jen," Gerund said nervously, "I hate to ask this, but can you communicate with that thing?"
Jen nodded his head in reply.
"How?"
Volney blurted out, face shocked.
"It uses min magic to speak directly to the mind. It uses the corrupted tongue just as the demon that sprang from the Burka pattern. I do not trust it, but it seems eager to help us for the time being."
"You mean—"
Volney started.
"It's coming with us," Jen finished.
"Are you mad?" Gerund objected. "That monstrosity could turn on us and destroy us at a whim. It is evil. Can you command it to stay behind?"
"I think doing so would anger it. It is evil, but it appears indiscriminate. Remember that it just annihilated hundreds of Uyumark and is now burying a craver. It thirsts for violence and cares little for right or wrong, our side or their side. I have a feeling that we and the Shalane's party will need aid before this is over. The Chukar are fools if they have not secured the beachhead against us, and Gamadron is, at this point, willing to do as I say. For what reason I cannot fathom."
"Gamadron?" his companions said in unison.
"Its name. It means wrath of poison in the dark tongue."
"I don't like this,"
Gerund stated frankly.
"Neither do I,"
Jen agreed honestly. "I will keep it at a distance if I can." They crossed over the extended bridge, the early morning wind drying the sweat on their bodies and chilling them. They turned right onto the road, which started a slow, switchbacked descent through whispering pines.
"We have the mystery of Echo Hold solved," Volney commented at last. "But what of the craver? Why didn't you kill it with your sword when you had the chance?" He could not be killed. His wounds healed the instant I delivered them.
Do you remember nothing from when you were in thrall to the lantern?
Not a single thing, Volney answered.
They only have eyes for the lantern, Gerund quoted.
And how did you manage to escape that?
Jen could not help but notice a note of suspicion creeping into his companions' voices.
As with the wail of demons, it seems that the effect of the lantern can be overcome by sheer will.
Jen knew this did not satisfactorily explain what had happened. When Tornus had opened the lantern, it held no attraction for him. That, combined with the craver's inability to consume him, led to some disturbing conclusions.
As for the other questions, Mikik created cravers. There are more than one?
Volney interrupted worriedly.
There were. Mikik created cravers to feed on the souls of living creatures. While no one knows for sure, it is rumored that creating them requires some kind of sacrifice. They do not eat, they do not sleep, and they can only be killed in two ways. A Triss magician has to unmake them entirely, converting them into a different substance all at once, or they have to be starved.
But you said they don't eat, Gerund pointed out.
They consume the essence of the living. It is a powerful need, and they must feed to survive.
That's why he kept those lanterns out, Gerund deduced.
Exactly. Legend says they had to be kept from consuming for 1 year and a day. Of course, trapping one without being consumed is difficult, especially without magic.
So if Tornus really wanted to die, why didn't he just starve himself to death? Volney asked.
The process of starving for over a year with food plentiful nearby probably proved too difficult. He wanted to be ended quickly.
I don't know whether to pity or curse him.
Volney humphed. I think I'll choose the curse option. He is one of the most, if not the most, notorious traitor in the history of Kihol.
Until me, Jen deadpanned, ending all conversation.
I am near, master. What do you wish?
Garmadron asked. Send half ahead and leave half behind. Kill any Uyumak you find, but leave alive all else.
Your will.
Stand back off of the road, Jen told Gerund and Volney, who obeyed without question. In minutes, 250 snake soldiers marched eerily by, weapons resting on bony shoulders. One flicked his axe at a tree as it passed, a cloven squirrel falling to the ground. They waited until they lost sight of the ghastly company around a switchback, before following.
I'll say one thing for this evening, Gerund said, voice upset.
It has been instructive. I think the only thing left to happen is for Mikik himself to hike up the path and dance a jig.
You'll let us know if he's coming, won't you, Jen?